So, I think it's really important to understand the gospel message. Would you agree? To understand what Jesus has done for us and who we are in Christ. And what I want to do this morning is I actually want to look at some really specific things about what we were and who we were before we came to Jesus and who we are after. And I'm going to do it a little bit differently. Martin's going to come up and be a volunteer. And what I'd like Emma to do, what's going to happen, Emma, is I'm going to be reading out some statements. And Jess is in control of the data for me. And as I read a statement out, Jess will put up the PowerPoint and there'll be a scripture on there. And what I'd just like you to do is read the scripture for me. So it will become obvious, but whatever's on the screen, you read it. We'll work it out as we go along. It just saves me having to read it because I'm going to be busy. Okay. So are you with me for something a little bit different today? Okay, I hope this is going to work. All right, we'll see how we get on. But let's just pray. So Lord Jesus, Lord, today we need to have a fresh revelation. Lord, I want a fresh revelation today of everything that you have saved me from and saved me for. Lord, I want to know afresh in my heart, and I believe my brothers and sisters here today want to know that too, a fresh sense of what we have been brought out of and what we have been brought into. So that, Lord Jesus, when we go away from this place, we get a fresh sense of excitement about what you've done and a foundational truth that enables us to live every day in the power of your resurrection. So, Lord, we just commit this time. We just pray. Lord, I pray that it all works and it becomes clear and everybody can understand what's going on. And, Lord, that you will speak into our hearts by your Spirit. Amen. So, I'm going to ask Martin to come up and be my model. So you're going to stand up on there for me. So, there we go. There we are. Nice and warm. Yeah, you're going to be baking, aren't you? Okay, so, let me move my things over here a bit. Now, I touched on some of this on a previous message, so some of this might be a little bit familiar, but that's okay, because repetition is not a bad thing. So, when we are born into sin, okay? Because we are in Adam. So, Emma.
For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many.
So, when we're born, because we all know the story, Adam and Eve, created by God, decided to do their own thing and disobey God. So, because Adam and Eve sinned, we have been born into their humanity. Death and sin entered the world. We were born into their humanity, so we're born into sin, all right? So, because we're human, we will all die, we will all sin. So, but before we start blaming Adam for everything, or Eve, we have all fallen short. Would you agree?
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
So God's holy standard is perfection. Anybody reached that so far today? No. Okay. We're all still working on it. Not one of us can say that we've met that standard. So we're all in agreement, we've all fallen short. Now that means that we are all guilty.
For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it.
Now, it's not about the quantity of sin, is it? Because just one sin, as this scripture tells us, is enough to mean that we've broken the law. We've broken all of them. So it's not about how bad the sin is or how many the sins are. We're all guilty. And because we're guilty, we are all condemned.
Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son.
Now the Bible talks about the wrath of God. And that can be a bit of a kind of a difficult one, because we don't like to think about the wrath of God, because we think about anger and harshness. But actually, God's anger is nothing like our anger. Our anger can be uncontrollable. It can depend on the weather and whether we've eaten or not. God's anger is a holy, righteous anger, which is a response to sin. So he has a perfect and holy anger, and he has every right to be angry with sin, which means that we are under the wrath of God.
Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him.
So the consequence of our sin is that we shall not see life. That means we are spiritually dead.
For the wages of sin is death.
And our sin separates us from God.
But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear.
In fact, the Bible tells us we are enemies of God.
This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions.
Now the problem is that however hard we try, folks, we can't not sin, can we? I mean, we might manage it for about 5 minutes in the morning before we get out of bed, but generally speaking, we mess up, we sin. And the reason for that is because we have a sinful nature and we are slaves to sin.
Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin."
In fact, we are under the power of Satan.
To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God.
Now, because we're under the rule of Satan and he rules over a kingdom, we are in the kingdom of Satan rather than the kingdom of God, which means we are in the kingdom of darkness.
For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness.
Now, God gave the Israelites the law, didn't he? He gave them the law to help them to obey him, to know what was right or wrong. The problem is that obviously what the law did was show up their sin. It showed them really how much they were messing up. And the Bible tells us that there's a curse of the law because they couldn't meet the law, and us, we are under the curse.
For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse.
And in this state of sin, we are excluded from God and his promises.
Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world.
So we're also without hope. That's the same scripture. Okay. And the problem was, we couldn't do anything about it. We were completely powerless.
You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly.
And in fact, we didn't even know we were in this state because we were blinded.
The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God.
Now, this is us before we come to Jesus. But when we come to Jesus, just hold the cross for me. Hold the cross forward. Jesus takes all of that on himself on the cross. So when we come to Jesus, all of that stuff has been taken by Jesus. And we are, this is quite big. Clothed in Christ. Jess, can you put the next one up?
For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ.
So the holiness of God requires that sin is judged. Are you still with me this morning? Yeah? Okay, good. Now, in the Old Testament, under the law, the people sacrificed animals, didn't they, to make atonement, to make them right with God. But Jesus' death was the once and for all sacrifice of atonement that meant that we are no longer under judgment for all of the sins that we've done. So we are free from judgment.
God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith.
Which means that there is now no condemnation.
So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus.
And Jesus' death bought us forgiveness.
He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins.
But forgiveness itself is not enough if our sins are still separating us from God. So if I forgive somebody, it doesn't mean that what they did didn't happen. It still happened. It's still there, if you like, in my memory. But what Jesus does is he comes and he not only forgives our sins, but wipes out the slate, if you like, wipes the slate clean. But he also makes it possible for us not to sin again. Because if we keep sinning, which we do, we need to keep asking for forgiveness. But before we come to Jesus, we are slaves to sin. We cannot not sin. But we have been set free from slavery to sin.
We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin.
So Jesus took the power of sin away when he died. So the power of sin no longer holds us in its grasp. And we are free because we are crucified with Christ.
I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live.
So the old self, the guilty self, has been crucified. We have a new self. In fact, we are a new creation.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here.
We are a new creation. The old has gone. Is that good news? Amen. We have been made completely new. In fact, we have been born again.
For you have been born again, that is, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for his purpose, not of seed which is perishable, but from that which is imperishable and immortal, that is, through the living and everlasting word of God.
So we have a new start, a new life, a new beginning. A new birth. So now that the old nature is gone and Jesus has taken the judgment, the barrier of sin, we are made right with God.
For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ.
So he has forgiven us, made us right with himself, and declared us not guilty.
Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water.
So we have been justified. We have been made right with God, declared not guilty. It's just as if I'd never sinned. He's wiped the slate clean. Everything that was there has been dealt with and taken away. And we are now set free from the curse of sin.
Christ redeemed us from that self-defeating, cursed life by absorbing it completely into himself. Do you remember the scripture that says, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree"? That is what happened when Jesus was nailed to the cross. He became a curse and at the same time dissolved the curse.
So that separation that happened to us between us and God, that happened as a result of our sin, has now been dealt with. We can now return to a position of right relationship with God. That relationship that he always intended. But it's more than just returning to the position that we had when we were, that Adam had right at the beginning in the Garden of Eden, because there was the potential for sin to get in the way, and that's what happened. Now, that has been completely wiped away. There's nothing to get in the way. So even when we mess up, we are still right with God. God is not going to turn his back on his promise. We cannot be separated from God now unless we make a conscious decision that we're going to walk away. We have been reconciled to God.
All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them.
Now, when we were in sin, we were not in good relationship with God, and we didn't have peace with God, but we now have peace with God.
Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
So we can come to God knowing there's nothing to get in the way. We have access to the Father.
For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit.
And more than that, we're actually called friends of God.
For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son.
That's amazing, isn't it? That we can be called friends with God. In fact, we are united with Christ.
But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ.
We're now joined to Jesus. And it's a bit like, you know, in a marriage ceremony, when two become one, one's joined together, it's like what's mine is yours and what's yours is mine. God takes all of our stuff and rubbish, because to be honest, we haven't got much to bring to the table, have we really, in this partnership? It's not an equal partnership, but what's his becomes ours. We get to give him all of our rubbish, and we get all of the blessings that he has. The victory, freedom, etc., becomes ours. Because we're not just united with him, but Christ lives in us.
I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
So we are being, we have been made right with God, but we are also set apart. We are sanctified by God.
To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me.
So we're still growing in holiness, but we have been made right with God. And as this passage also says, we've been turned from darkness to light. Can't get that one in. You're looking lovely, Martin. So, we have been moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light.
For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son.
So we're no longer under the control of Satan, in a position where we really couldn't make our own choices in one sense, in terms of doing the right things, and were slaves to sin, completely under the kingdom of darkness. We have been delivered from the powers of darkness.
For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son.
And we now have a completely new identity in Christ. And part of that identity is that we are now called children of God.
See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are.
Is it good so far? So you're kind of with me here. There's some good stuff, isn't there, what God has done for us. So we are as this verse tells us, we are loved. This is the core of our identity, the core of who we are, loved by God. We sing that song, don't we? Good, good Father, that's who you are. Loved by you, that's who I am. It's that core sense of our identity. We are loved by God. We are a child of God. I know what it's like in my own life trying to earn the love of God. It's a horrible thing to be stuck in where you feel that you're not loved and you can't be good enough to be loved by God. God loves us. He loves us with a passion. That is who we are. That is a foundational truth of our identity. So now we share in God's divine nature. I'm going to turn you around a bit and we'll start on there.
And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires.
So in sharing the divine nature of God, we can be transformed by the power of his Spirit. We're no longer bound by the restrictions of frail and sinful human nature. We have been made alive.
But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved.
We now have a life, and that life isn't just any kind of life. That life is eternal life.
Because of his grace, he made us right in his sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life.
And it is abundant life.
I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows.
That's the kind of life I want, isn't it? Yeah? And this life is totally secure.
I gave them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me, for my Father has given them to me and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand.
Our salvation is secure. We can have complete confidence that when we come to Jesus and we are in the Father's hand, he's not careless, he's not going to drop us. He's not going to suddenly trip over something and drop us and we lose our salvation, or we mess up and he throws us away. That is not going to happen. I believe we can jump out of his hands, but that has to be a pretty definite thing that we do. We wouldn't do that by accident. We wouldn't do that by getting out of the wrong side of the bed in the morning. Once we have given our lives to Jesus, we are secure in his hands. We are totally secure. Now, everything we receive from God, we receive by faith, yeah? But that faith itself is a gift from God.
For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God.
So everything now that God originally intended for Adam in that creation, when he created man, the original intention about our lives, our relationship with him, now those promises that he made to Abraham, to Isaac, about what he wanted to do through the people of Israel, the way that he wanted to bless them, to reveal himself to them. All of those promises, all the promises in the Bible, now we are heir to the promises.
And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you.
In fact, we are joint heirs with Christ because we are his brothers and sisters.
Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ.
We are equal sharers with Christ, if you like. We're going to inherit what he inherits when he comes again. Now, if God had just done this for us, it's pretty amazing, isn't it? But actually, he's done so much more. He could have just saved us from judgment. He could have just taken away our sin. But actually, he's given us so much more in terms of how we live our daily life. The promises of God the blessings of heaven. We have eternal life, but we get a foretaste of eternity now. So one day we know we're guaranteed that we will be with Jesus forever, in that perfect place where there is no sickness, there is no crying, there is no shame, there is no death. But right now, we're still living in the humanity that we have. We're still living in a fallen world. But we get to taste, a foretaste of the kingdom of God now, because the kingdom of God is in us. It's a bit like the sunshine that we have had this week is kind of a foretaste of summer. Yeah, kind of you think, okay, the only problem is we've still got no guarantee of summer. We have a guarantee of eternal life in Jesus. So we have a foretaste. One day we will have the full package. And Ephesians 1 verse 14 says, the Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. We have the Holy Spirit as a guarantee that we're going to get the full outworking of what we're experiencing now. So we're kind of getting the down payment now. We will have the full outworking of our salvation when Jesus comes again. But right now, the Bible tells us that as part of that foretaste, we are seated with Christ in heavenly realms.
And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus.
We can begin to experience right now victory over sin and death.
For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ.
Because we have also overcome the world.
For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith.
We overcome because we are empowered by Christ.
Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us.
And that power isn't any power, that power is resurrection power.
I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honour at God's right hand in the heavenly realms.
So we can start to experience the healing that comes from that resurrection power that is at work within us.
But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed.
So, you and I today can be more than conquerors.
No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us.
Are you getting excited yet? The amazing thing is that God is for us.
What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?
So we were enemies of God, separated from God, but God is now for us. And we are blessed with every spiritual blessing.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ.
And we are part of the body of Christ. So when we're born again, we're born into the body of Christ. We're born into the family of God.
Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it.
And we have been chosen. And not just chosen for anything, but chosen to bear fruit.
You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you.
So we have a purpose.
For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago.
So there is a purpose to this new life that we have. And part of that purpose is that we should be light and salt.
You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden.
And we are priests.
And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God.
So as priests, we have direct access to the Father. We can come before him on behalf of others. That's what the priests used to do. We can bring our prayer and our worship. These are our spiritual acts of worship, spiritual sacrifices that please God. Now, I could go on, and I'm sure that you may have some other ideas of things that we could have here, but we would be here all day. So, Martin, I'd like you to just give a little bit of a twirl. Now, does anybody agree with me that if we grasped this, we would live a little bit differently to how sometimes we live? Yeah? So what I want to do this morning is just give us a few minutes just to pray and ask God to give us revelation. Perhaps Andy, if you wouldn't mind coming and just playing for us while we just meditate for a few minutes on what God has done. Just, there may be something that I've mentioned this morning. I know it's been a bit different today. It's perhaps just been, maybe felt a bit like a list, but I really felt that we needed to get a grasp of just how much God has done. And there may be one or two of those that you kind of think, you know what, I really do, I've kind of struggled with that, haven't really grasped that, or maybe I've not really taken hold of it as much as I could have. Maybe there are areas of my life where, you know, I sometimes doubt whether God really wants to have that relationship with me. Maybe I don't feel that I am right with God. Maybe I do feel guilty. Maybe I do feel condemned. Maybe I don't feel that I've got peace with God. Maybe I struggle with sin, and I'm not recognizing that God has set me free from slavery to sin, and I can be free. So yes, I will mess up, but I don't have to be stuck in the cycle of repeated sin. You know, it may be that you're struggling with your security in God. Maybe you feel, you know, I'm worried. I'm worried that I'm going to mess up and God is going to reject me. Let's just allow just a few minutes just to pray. Lord, I just pray that as we just give a couple of minutes just to be quiet in your presence, that if there's anything, Lord, that we've mentioned today, or even other things in your word that perhaps we haven't fully grasped, we haven't taken hold of, Lord, would you reveal them to us right now?